So as we turn to John 10:10, and we're reading through, I wanted to encourage you today. Jesus said, I have come to give you abundant life. And I felt like this was interesting because we're celebrating Christmas and we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. And this scripture says, I have come. So when Jesus came 2,000 years ago into a manger, his purpose of coming was to give us abundant life. I have come that you may have abundant life. Life abundantly. John 10:10 reads, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. The Amplified says, to the full, till it overflows. Another version of this says, I came so that they could have life indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest. This scripture verse here means here and now. Life to the fullest here and now. We are celebrating the birth of our Savior, and he said, I came here to earth so that you can have life and have it abundantly. That's why Jesus came, so that we here now can have life and have it to its full. Jesus said, to the full, till it overflows, abundant and more abundantly. That's the life that we can be living now. The phrase have come, when I looked it up, it literally means from one place to another. So Jesus literally came, we believe, from the throne room of heaven to the manger, walked on the earth, ministered, went to the cross. He came. I have come. I have come. I became a baby. I walked the earth. I have come to the cross, and I have come back to glory again so that you can have abundant life. My question to you today is, what does abundant life mean to you? What does that phrase mean for you right now in this place? And I want you to write it down, because we're going to write down a goal. We're going to write down a vision. We're going to write down a dream. The scripture verse that says, without a vision, people perish, which is in Proverbs 29:18. That word there in the Hebrew for vision, that means a revelatory word from God. So without a revelatory word from God today, we will perish. Without a revelatory word from God today, abundant life, what does that look like to you? Because your abundant life for you personally, Deb, is different than what my abundant life is now. What is my vision, my goal, my abundant living for me here and now? It's going to look different for where I am going into 2023. So what is it, that dream, that vision, that goal? What does your abundant life look like? What are you believing God for? What are you pressing in for? Sometimes we don't see that as a vision or as a goal or as something we're aiming towards, but that's what our abundant life looks like. So what does abundant living look like to you? Health in your body, a new job, maybe a new home, household salvation. What does that vision look like to you? Seeing your children in church all the days of their life. That's a vision and a hope for our future. Let's get a vision of it. Let's picture this in our minds. And because without that revelatory word from God, we're just going around in circles. And every day, every 24 hours is just another day marked off. But when we see every step we're taking towards that vision, that stirs up that purpose, that stirs up our faith, that stirs up our excitement for the 24-hour day we're in. Because we know we're working towards that dream, that vision, that goal that God has set aside for us. Amen? Amen. The purpose of giving us abundant life is why Jesus Christ came. That's why we celebrate Christmas. So as we go throughout this next month, before we even turn the calendar to 2023, I ask today that you just say, Holy Spirit, stir up in me. Stir up in me. What is the hope? What is the dream? What is the vision for this upcoming year? I don't want to do another year the way I did this year. How many of you can say that? I want to have some change. I want to have some adjustment. And there's got to, where does that adjustment need to be made? What are you believing for? What if you said, you know, I've been in the same place for a while now, and it's time to move forward. That's what abundant life is for you. We're going to break free from the stagnancy in Jesus' name. Some definitions of life here in this scripture verse was both the physical present life and a spiritual future in existence. So Jesus came for us to have abundant life here on earth. And then, of course, our eternity in heaven, which is wonderful. But we have living to do here. We have a life to live here in hope, in peace, in joy, bringing others into salvation, walking out the glory of God here on earth, and then, of course, into glory. The abundant life, which results in Christ coming, is in contrast to the spiritual death. The contrast made here, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but, how many of us remember that but, that transition word? But we're not going to stay stuck in the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. We're going to transition over into the but part of abundant life. Amen? But what did Jesus do for us? What has Jesus come to give us? And that is the abundant life. Through his life, he's given us abundant life. He said that I came that they may have life, have it abundantly, more than even possible to use. I want to have that abundant life that there's just too much. I can't even use it. I can't even use all the hope I have. I can't even use all the peace I have. We're not just talking about finances, and I do believe that the Lord wants us in abundance and finances to help and to bless and to give to those who are walking into their promises. Amen? Because abundant life for you may be a new house, a new job, a better car to drive. That's safe, that's secure, that's reliable. That's abundant living. We should have things that are reliable, that are safe, that we're protected in. It's not wrong to ask for these things. Amen? We should be walking in the fullness and in the abundance of life because it should be flowing out of us more than they could even possibly use. I like that phrase about this abundant life. And this is the Lord himself proclaiming this to us. This is Jesus saying, right? We go back to, if you have a red letter edition Bible, this is the words of Jesus. He is proclaiming, I have come to give you life and have it abundantly. What does abundant life look like to you today? The one who receives abundant life within us is then a source of life for others. This is that overflow. This is that walking in the abundance of the word, the abundance of prayer, so that that's what we have to pour out. This is not about just having enough to survive. This is about living a full, overflowing life so that we can pour out to those around us, those who need it. Amen? Yes. Rivers of living water. John 7:38 says, rivers of living water that will brim up, spill out of the depths of anyone who believes. Do you believe that Jesus came to give you abundant life? Amen. So out of your belly today flows rivers of living water that's going to brim out, bubble up, and flow out of you in Jesus' name. One of the differences of life is the abundance here. And again, this is beyond the immediate possible use. I'm not talking about what we just need today. I'm not talking about abundant life for now. Because we could all pretty say, well, we made it here today, and this is a good day, right? I need an umbrella when I leave, but that's about all I need today. We're talking about abundant life for what's ahead. What's the vision God has given you for your life coming up? This word life here also means life has a future. We have to think of an abundant life, a future. Life propagates new life. Our lives should be promoting new spiritual life around us everywhere we go. Life that has untold capacity about it. The life of God in us should be unable to describe. It should be beautiful. It should be filled with strength. It should be varied. There should be reproduction in our lives spiritually around us. This is that abundant life. This all stems from that word, I came to give you life and have it abundantly. A life that is beautiful, a life that leaves a beautiful fragrance behind that only comes from Jesus. I have come that they may have life. Life to the non-living. This means those that are dead to sin. I have come that they may have life. Who is it around you that is dead in sin right now? That the life of God flowing out from you, that living water, that river of living water, can bring them life. That's the abundant life. We're talking about having a goal and a vision to see household salvation. And then we're going to talk about how do we work towards that. Amen. It's not just enough to say, I'm believing for my family to be saved, and that's a goal. We're going to talk about some steps to get to that goal because we have abundant life waiting for us. And I believe that the Holy Spirit today is stirring up a new anticipation of power, of expectation, of this provision that God has for us. Provision. Provision of peace, receiving all the promises that God has. Amen. What is life abundantly to you? What does that look like? Write it down, jot it down, anything. And you know, this is one of the things, the hardest things I've ever done. Last year, I wrote down a list of goals. I've never done that before. I had to break through the mindset of the fear of even writing it down. Not wanting to put these high expectations out there, that fear of not meeting that goal, the fear of not matching that expectation. That's of the enemy, and the enemy wants to hold us in the place we are at. Because he knows that without a vision, without a dream, without a goal, we're going to perish spiritually, and we're going to stop that abundant life from moving forward from us, right? Remember, it's not just about us. It's that life coming from us. So write down a dream, a vision. What is it for you? Is it a new job? Is it to see your children saved? Is it a financial blessing? Is it a new car? Is it a relationship? I have quite a bit in my notes today about restoration in relationships. What is it? Have we just kind of let things go and say, well, I feel like I'm at peace with it, so that's fine. God's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of restoration. And that doesn't mean to go back to what it was. It means to have restoration so that there's no ugh feeling when you see or think of someone. That's how you know when you're restored, when you could look back and pick out some good things and not be left with the ache in your heart anymore. I believe that's how the Lord shows me when I've walked to a place of restoration, when I could look back over areas in my life that were broken, areas in my life that were moments of woundedness that I would have just liked to unthread out of the tapestry of my life. Because when you look at your life as a tapestry, you can't unthread things. You'll end up with holes. That's not what God means when he wants us to be restored and healed. Now I can look back at those places and see them as moments of restoration. I can look back and see moments of growth. I can look back and see how God preserved me and protected me. That's how I know when restoration has come in my heart. Just a little side note for you. You know, a few weeks ago, Paulie had a message about taking the limits off. Who was here for that message? Took the limits off. Literally took a container and took the limits off. Since that message, let me ask you something. If you have not heard that message, go back and watch it on YouTube or listen to it on the website. What have we done since then? That's the question. When we have a goal and we have a vision, we come up and we're like, Lord, I want the limits off. I want this done. I want you to move freely in my life. Have your way, Holy Spirit. And then we don't put the works behind the faith. See, in James chapter 2:14, it says, genuine faith produces good works then. So we can't just always sit back and say, all right, God, take the limits off and do anything you want, Lord. And then we go back to our same routine. We say, okay, God, take the limits off. And now change me so I can see this fulfilled. Amen. Let me change my habits. Let me change my daily routine so I can walk this out with you. This is where the faith in God and the works that we do in the natural come together, right? When we do in the natural, God makes it super. And that's how we get supernatural happening in our lives. But we have something to do in the natural. So whatever your dream is, your vision, that goal that you're seeking God after for this abundant life, we're going to have some steps that we're going to have to do to fulfill that. Amen? Amen? Amen. So we're looking forward. I want to get a forward vision for the upcoming year. You know, so many times in the past, I'm used to have parties and say, oh, I'm going to party into the new year. When Paulie and I were first married, that was like my big thing in our apartment. I wanted to have New Year's Eve parties. And then there were some years I was like, you know what? The kids are going to bed and I'm going to sleep through the new year. I just want to turn the calendar and I don't even want to think back about what that year was. That's what the enemy wants us to do. We are going to take all the good, all the glory, all the benefits, all the knowledge, all the testimony, all that faithfulness of God from one year, and it's going to propel us into the next year so we can grab hold of and tangibly hold on to, tangibly see, tangibly walk in the fulfillment of the dreams, visions, and goals God's given us. Amen? I feel like that's got to be a stirring up inside of us. No more dread, no more doubt, no more despair. We're leaving all that behind. And we're going forward in faith, in hope, and a revival in our own hearts of faith. We can't expect to see revival out in the world if we don't have revival in our own hearts. We can't expect to see the fire of God fall in our workplaces, in our children, in families, if we're not having the fire of God stirring up inside of us. Amen? So let's ask the Holy Spirit for a stirring up of the fire of God in us for what's coming ahead. We're going to step forward into the promised land. And think about the promised land. We went through the book of Joshua over COVID and did that series about Joshua. And he stepped over into the promised land. They could have stayed right outside that promised land. They were getting very comfortable. They had crossed the Jordan, and they were right outside the walls. And it said they even had a Passover meal, if I'm not mistaken, right there, outside the promised land. We can get very comfortable, very complacent right where we are because we're like, whew, that wilderness was hard. I'm just going to stay right here for a little while. Well, there's no time to stay right here. It's time to get up, march around the walls and shout them down and move into our promised land because we take with us our families. We take with us those that are hurting. We take with us into that promised land more than just ourselves, right? This is the abundant life that permeates through us. So we could wander around the wilderness or we could set course for a promised land in front of us. I love the scripture verse in Isaiah 43:19 that says, I make a pathway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Don't you love that? Well, a path leads you somewhere. It's wonderful to gain a path when you're in the woods. We walk the dog in the woods and I always get lost. It's really kind of comical. I have no sense of directions. And I always forget what trail we're on. But a path, no matter which path I'm on, is going to take me somewhere. So when we say that scripture verse, it's not just saying, okay, Lord, thanks for a path. Now, that path is to lead us somewhere. That river, when you see a river, you could follow where the river flows right into the opening of a water, a body of water ahead. So where is our path leading us? Where is the river taking us? It's time to leave the wilderness. It's time to leave and get to the promised land. Follow that path out. Follow the river out in Jesus' name. A path is to guide us through. It's not to keep us in that wilderness anymore. So we can set camp or we can get up. We could set camp again for 2023 right where we are. And we are saved and we're going to go to heaven. But I'm not going to be saved and go to heaven sick in my body. I'm not going to be saved and go to heaven with half my family here. I'm not going to be sick. I'm not going to be here and go to heaven and not having the fullness of God in my life. And that's life experience. You know, I remember when, Judy, you went to Israel, right? Well, that's a beautiful thing. Why shouldn't we experience those kind of things? Why shouldn't we have life abundantly here? If that to you is a dream and a vision and a goal to get to go somewhere to see some of God's creation, why shouldn't that be abundance in your life? What is a desire in your heart? If it's not against the word of God and it's about provision and it's about God's favor, it belongs to us. We're his children. We're his children. Sometimes we forget to ask for those things. Right? We're busy with all these other things. We think, okay, God, somebody else over there on the other side of the earth needs something more than me. Well, he could take care of that and he can give you the desire of your heart. Because that's the God we serve. Amen? Amen. I want to look at the story in Ezra right now because we're talking about not stopping. We're talking about not stopping where we are and staying in the same place in 2022, from 2022 into 2023. I want you to go to Ezra chapter 4. Now we're jumping into the middle of the story where the children of God, the people of God, are starting to rebuild the temple. And all of a sudden, their enemies rise up. The enemy will rise up when we start to move forward and we start to work towards the dream, the vision, and the goal God has given us. And in verse 21, it says, "So now issue a decree to make these men stop work, so that this city will not be rebuilt until a new command is issued by me." This is the king saying this. And then it says, "Beware of being negligent in carrying out this matter. Why should the damage increase to the detriment of the kings?" So they were telling the king, you know, king, if they rebuild the temple, you're going to lose your position. So then it goes on to verse 23. And then as soon as a copy of the king's document was read to the scribe and their colleagues, they went up and hurriedly to Jerusalem, to the Jews, and made them stop working by force of arms. Verse 24, then the work on the house of God in Jerusalem stopped. In the version that I was reading earlier, it said, they made them cease by force and power. The people of God became discouraged and disheartened, and they ceased their work. They felt resistance from the enemy, and they stopped. They stopped the plan, the vision, and the goal that God had given them. They were facing unexpected turn of events, and they gave up. My commentary said the first round was won by their enemy. I don't know about you, but that made me mad. And I was like, I don't want any round in the battles of my life won by the enemy. Nothing that the enemy is going to put in front of me is going to cause me to cease what I'm working on for the Lord. How about you? What is the dream? What is the vision? What is the promise that the enemy has said caused you to just cease, just stop right where you are? Because that's what happened. They were working, resistance came, and they just stopped. For years, they just stopped. Stopped right there. Stopped moving forward, stopped rebuilding the temple that was promised to them. What attack from the enemy has caused you to stop believing, stop speaking, and stop working towards your vision? Only you can write that down. I don't know. I don't know what that is. What has caused you to cease? The word there said cease stopping moving forward. What has caused us to stop moving forward in any dream, vision, or promise that God has given us? When we stop moving towards that vision, we are left feeling, and I wrote down 6 different things here. This is just how the Holy Spirit gave it to me. We are left with dread, despair, despondent, doubting, discouraged, and disappointed. Can any of us fit those 6 into maybe what has happened as we stopped? I'm going to read what these mean. Dread means to anticipate with great apprehension or fear. I realized years ago this was what would happen to me at the turn of a calendar. I knew that God would fix anything we faced in the upcoming year. I knew that always. I have faith that my God is faithful, but I dreaded what was going to be the next thing. And I had to stand fast and say, I will not dread my tomorrows, because I'm not going to let the enemy, the thief, steal, kill, and destroy and take my piece of a tomorrow that I haven't even walked in. Come on now. So we bind up a spirit of dread right now in Jesus' name. And we will walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians 5:7. So that spirit of dread, if that's something that you have been battling, is bound up in Jesus' name. The word despair means an absence of hope. When you stop moving forward, you are left in a place of despair, just done. Absence of hope. If that is you, just say, I bind up a spirit of despair, because I know the hope to which I've been called to, Ephesians 1:18. So this might be what you're feeling right now, but we're going to answer it with the word of God. When I was praying, I heard the word despondent, and I had to look it up and read what it meant. In low spirits from loss of hope or courage. So not only do we feel despair, but then it becomes despondent. It's even a greater sense of loss, this word despondent. So we bind up a spirit of despondency in Jesus' name. When we stop moving forward and we start moving into the vision God gave us and we allow the enemy to cause us to stop, then what are we left with? If we're not fulfilling God's plans and purposes for our life, what are we left with? Dread, despair, despondency. We answer that and say, I am strong and I am courageous. Joshua 1:9. We're not going to stay in a place of despondency. Doubt. Uncertain that it is God's will or plan. Have you ever just doubted? This is why I never wanted to write down a vision, dream, or a goal before. Just doubted. God, I don't even know if this is you. If it's bigger than you, it's God. If you can't do it on your own, it's God. If it's going to take a team, it's God. If it's going to take a miracle and a move of the Holy Ghost, then it's Him, it's not us. So doubt, uncertain that this is God's will or plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11, this is a verse we learn when we're children. God's plans for you are to prosper. So we can learn a whole bunch of scripture verses, but if we believe them now as adults, this is why Jesus said, have childlike faith. We got to take them now and believe them now. Jesus came. God's plans for us are to prosper. We can doubt, Lord, well, this isn't for me, this is for them. Lord, you can bless them, but I don't know if I'm supposed to walk in that kind of a blessing. Right? That's a false sense of humility. And it's actually a type of pride, believe it or not. So we have to answer that. Romans 8:31, God is for me. God is always for us. God always wants to prosper us. God's favor is on our lives. So what does that mean? That means we're going to walk in good things. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. So this is if this goal, dream, or vision is something you can't do, that's good. Because in our weakness, he's strong. Where we lack, he is our gain. So does God want you to have it? Is God a God of peace? Yes. Is God a God of restoration? Is God a God of provision? Is God a God of blessing? Okay, is that what your dreams, visions, and goals have? Then they're yours. Then yes, it's God's plan for you. Yes, it's God's divine design for you. Discouragement, which means having a loss of enthusiasm. Have you lost your zeal and your passion for daily life? Your zeal and your passion, discouragement wants to come and steal that. We answer that with Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We answer that with Psalms 103:1. Rise up, soul, and bless the Lord. We stir ourselves up to be enthusiastic and to have a zeal and a passion for our life. No matter what we're doing, what does your 24-hour day look like? What does it look like? Whether you're driving back and forth to the city, whether you're folding laundry, what does your day look like? We could have zeal and passion and enthusiasm for our life because in everything that we do, we're doing it unto the glory of God and we're working towards our goal and that dream and that vision that God has given us. We're left with disappointment when we stop. When we stop. And what I wrote down there is grief over what no longer is. Sometimes we just have to grieve. And we have to acknowledge that we're disappointed, that things didn't go the way we thought, that something happened, that we had a loss. We have to grieve. But then, Ecclesiastes 3:11, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Even in our grief, even in our loss. Because we could stay in the disappointment, or we could say, Lord, you're going to make something beautiful, and I'm going to move forward. Amen? Because we have the strength and empowerment of the Holy Ghost to move forward towards that dream and that vision. Here's the beautiful part of this story. So we're in Ezra, and they stopped, right? They stopped working. I want you to go in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4. And now this is a scripture we know, but when we see why God gave Zechariah this scripture for Zerubbabel, who knows what Zechariah 4, we all know it, we all say it. Zechariah 4:6, as you're turning there, I'm going to start reading for the sake of time. Then he said to me, this continuous supply of oil is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain of obstacles, before Zerubbabel, who will rebuild the temple? You will become a plain, insignificant. And we will say grace, grace to this mountain. This was God's response to the people of Israel stopping the work on the temple. They stopped and God gave them an answer. They stopped and God gave them a plan. They stopped working and God said, what are you going to do now? How are you going to respond? And we're going to say it. We're going to say it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by God's spirit. And then he commands Zerubbabel to say, grace, grace to this mountain. Amen. So whatever has caused you to stop and cease working, and now where you are left with the spirit of dread or despair or despondency, we can say, grace, grace to that mountain. Who are you to try to stand in front of me? What obstacle is trying to stand in front of you from reaching that goal or vision or dream that God has promised you? But we have to speak to it. And I love this because this is a verse we've read so many times and we will say it and we will declare it. I love it. Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit. But he was giving them an answer to their stopping point. And saying, don't stop here. Don't stop here. Don't let the enemy and the tactic of the enemy cause you to stop moving forward in the restoration process. Amen. Can we go a little bit more today so I can finish this up? This was God's direct response to the temple work stopping. His direct response. So this is his direct response to us. If we are quitting and stopping and ceasing work towards restoration, towards a dream, towards a vision, towards a goal, speak to that mountain. We're going to speak to the mountain in Jesus' name. So what holds us back? What's the mountain of opposition? In this new year, in this next season, we're going to call it a season for a vision restoration. Can we pinpoint that dream or vision and an exact image of life? What's the exact image you want to see your life to look like? It should be a prosperous one. It should be a healthy one. It should be an abundant one. It should be a peaceful one. Your body healthy, whole. Your family sitting around a table together. Your children in church. Finances increasing. A new home out of debt. We got to bring it into focus, and we got to start seeing the rebuilding, see it restored, see it whole, see the prosperity take place. Paul, can you come up and give this testimony for me now? I asked Paul to share this testimony, and here's why: because we're going to talk about the working towards the dream or vision, and what Paul is going to share with you came to my attention the day I was typing these notes out. Because what happens sometimes is, and I said, thank you so much for this. What happens sometimes is we get a word and you start working it through and you're like, Lord, was this just a word for me? Lord, is this the word you want for our women this month? Right? We're specific when we pray. Well, Lord, is this the word you want for our women in this time? Or was this for me? Is this a later date? And the same day I had left the office and I had just typed up a bunch and I was like, all right, Lord, I don't know if this was really the message you want. Paul's story came to my attention. I was like, oh, this is perfect confirmation. So thank you.
Our family's been working through for about 4 years now, having a lost child as a prodigal son. And about a year ago, the Lord started dealing with both my husband and I. What's our next step? Because this was something that came out of nowhere and unexpected. We didn't know how to deal with it. And so we just started praying and seeking God. We went through most of your 5D points, doubt, fear, and the grief. A mother's heart is just, I can't tell you how strong a mother's heart is. Until you go through something like this, you do grieve. And I grieved for probably too long. And then God started showing me things and telling me things and stuff coming from the pulpit and the platform. And I was like, okay, it's time you got to get this because it's just coming at you from all sides. This past year, things even got worse. And Polly, a couple of weeks ago, from the platform, started talking about the prodigals and how they're going to start coming home. And our youngest son called me over because he was ushering. And we just cried together because both of us were very close to this son. And we miss him so much, and we just cried. But that crying was such a release to start moving forward. Then we walked through a door. I'm a very visual person, and when that happened, it just like slapped me upside the head and said, we are really going in the right direction here. And I walked through the door and I left that past behind me to not think about it anymore and to really put my faith and our trust in action. And every time we talk about a circumstance, we take it back. So every time somebody would ask me how's, I would take it back. And I started saying about a year ago, that's in God's hands. You know, whatever he has for that situation, that's what it's going to be. When it happens, that's when it's going to be. and I wouldn't talk about it anymore because I didn't want to take it back anymore. I just wanted to continue to trust God and to leave it there and keep my hands off of it. So we walked through the door. When we took the lid off of Limits, that was just the limit for me. I was like, wow, okay. Because I wouldn't be standing here if I hadn't taken that limit off, because I hid behind my shame of the situation, my grief of the situation. And when we took those limits off, it was gone. And as you can tell, I'm not even nervous. I have such peace, because this is the timing. Two Sundays ago, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I was getting ready, and a lot of times in the shower and when I'm getting ready for church, that's when God really talks to me about things, because I'm in an attitude. It seems on Sunday mornings I'm in more of an attitude of praise than normal day. I don't know why, but it's good. I don't care. And that Sunday morning, God started giving me a conversation. And I stopped and I said, God, is this you? Or is this just my desire? And that's two different things. There is, you know, you have your desires, but I said that to Nikki and she said, but your desires are God, because he gives you the desires of your heart. So that was my confirmation that it was God. But that Sunday, same Sunday, I brought the offering up, because my husband was in the studio. I brought the offering up. And a little while later, Pastor Carolyn comes over to me and she said, when you walked back from dropping your offering in the basket, I saw your table full with your whole family. And I thought, whew, yeah, okay, that's just confirmation again of the conversation. In my immediate thought pattern, I thought, oh, the day before Thanksgiving would be absolutely perfect for this conversation to take place. Well, that didn't happen, because it wasn't God's timing. The conversation still hasn't happened, but he continues to give me words and things to add to what he's already given me. So I'm just waiting on the time of his release to be able to fulfill and be obedient to what he has for us as a family. But I will say, another step of faith that we took after Pastor Carolyn said that to me is I told John about all that happened that Sunday morning. And Thanksgiving Day, together, him and I set the table. He never sets the table. I don't want him to set the table. We sat it together. We put chairs, empty chairs, at the table. I didn't do the place setting because it wasn't the time to release all of this to the rest of the family. But we put the chairs there and we prayed over those chairs. And we'll probably do the same thing for Christmas. That'll be a little bit more of a challenge, more people coming, but we'll do it. And we'll pray over those chairs, and one day we're going to set the table, because they're going to be there. The whole family back together. That is what I wrote down for my dream and vision. One thing, you know, and I can say after God started this, I just feel like I'm back even better than where I was before it even happened, because God doesn't do anything for no reason at all. There is a purpose in every step that we take. And if we don't yield to those purposes, then we're really being disobedient. And I wasn't going to do this. Nikki said, you can write it down and I'll do it. But then I remembered, as I was praying about it, that I walked through a door and I took a lid off. And if I didn't respond to those two things, I was disobedient. And I don't want to be disobedient anymore.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Paula. And you know, we're set free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I wanted you to hear that because there was a vision of having her family around a table, and now there are steps towards it. It's praying and waiting on the Lord. It's writing down scripture, preparing a heart for conversation, right? Bringing someone in an agreement with or on it. It's doing work in the natural for what we see God has in the future. Amen? Because we are wise women and we build our house. In order to build a house, you have a vision of a finished product, and then you work towards what that finished product looks like, right? Amen? So if you have a goal of a new job, then what do? We get a financial plan ready. Maybe we sow an extra offering seed of what would your offering be if you had that new job? And then you work towards what you have to do for that job. We can't just say, God, I want to see my family restored, and then stay in a place of heartache and brokenness. Sometimes we have to work through the pain in order to gain the change. I'll say that again. Sometimes we need to work through the pain, the grief, work through, break down the despondency, the dread, in order to gain the change. And I love what Paula said about how now that she's got a different perspective. Right, the perspective over here, when the people of Jerusalem stopped building the temple, was fear, the dread, the doubt, the despondency. A word of the Lord came, without a vision, people perish. That revelatory word from God, now I have a dream, now I have a vision, now I have what I'm working towards a family, together, God's restoration. Amen? So what is it? Relationship mended. Yes, a conversation may need to take place. Maybe apologies have to happen. I heard Pastor Jensen Franklin say this: their confrontation is a seed that brings a harvest of peace. Confrontation is not an argument. Confrontation is not a fight. Confrontation is not to prove your point. That's not what confrontation is. Godly confrontation is not pretending the issue does not exist. It is facing the issue in God's wisdom, in his insight, and in his discernment. So yes, conversations will have to take place, but we can hold fast that when we do it with God's timing, the timing of the Lord, not stepping out of God's timing, that we're going to reap back a harvest of peace from that. So is your goal, your health, your vision maybe for healing in your body? Maybe you have to make some changes in the natural. As God heals us, we believe in the supernatural healing, manifest power of God, and then we have to make some changes. Right, if God heals your liver, maybe from alcoholism, and you've been set free and delivered, now you have liver damage, God can heal that, but that doesn't mean we go back to drinking because now we're healed, right? God touches us from maybe diabetes, that doesn't mean we can eat cake, although we all know I would love cake all day long, doesn't mean that's what we do while we're believing for our healing. Sometimes we have to make adjustments. In the natural, as we're walking towards our goals, what are your goals? It could be from, you know, maybe witnessing. Lord, I want to witness to a certain amount of people each month. We got to get out of our box and do it. One, we got to be bold. But I also feel like we have to prepare ourselves in the word, have a word ready on your lips. You know, if I say, Lord, I want to be an encourager, well, I'm going to study some scriptures on encouragement so that I'm ready with a word of encouragement for someone who might need it. So what is your goals, your visions, your desires? Is it to see your children loving the Lord, serving them with all their hearts when they're older? We have to do the daily work now to see that happen. I'm so grateful and thankful for my children being in the house of God, loving God. It's beyond my hopes, my dreams, and my visions. But the Holy Spirit showed me the simple tasks of putting out their little devotion books every day. But now they take their devotion books and they go and they pray and they have journals and they have prayers that they're praying and goals that they're believing for. We set that tone in that 24-hour day that you're in right now. What are you setting the tone for your future, for your children, for your household? If you're believing for maybe a mate, you want someone in your life, what are you doing to work towards that? Holy Spirit, how can I prepare myself for what you have ahead? We have preparation work to do, setting a table in the natural. What can be done in the natural as we're working towards the vision? Thank you, Paula, so much for sharing that. Are you working towards emotional peace or stability? What needs to be done to get there? Do you have to step out of toxic places? Do you need to set your mind on the Lord always? If you're like, Lord, I'm believing I'm going to just walk in complete emotional stability, what are we doing to get there? Because it's in Isaiah 26:3 that says, he will keep you in perfect peace, those whose thoughts are fixed on the Lord. That means it's a daily discipline of fixing our thoughts on the Lord when our thoughts start to wander. And I love what Paul said about God's timing. Because when we step out of God's timeline, we're disobeying. And a really quick example is we had our fifth come away event. Can you believe that? Our fifth come away event in October. The Lord spoke to my heart so clearly 4 years prior to our first come away. I was walking on the property of Sagandago with the youth group, and I felt the Lord say, I want to see my daughters here. I want my daughters here. And I was like, Lord, your girls are here. They're right over there. And then he said, I want my daughters here. And I knew at that point in time, we were doing our monthly events. We didn't have a main event like that going on for the women. And I was like, oh, well, that's a little bit bigger than I'm thinking about a Saturday morning. Okay, I held it in my heart. A year went by. I finally told Paulie about it. Another year went by. I prayed. I brought it to Pastor Carolyn. And we worked towards that dream, that goal, that vision. That was the start of a new stage of abundant life, right? For us as women, as a group. But God's timing in it, we wait on God's timing. How do we know? That's just a small example. God's timing on waiting on conversations. God's timing on moving out in faith. Maybe you're thinking about a new job, a promotion somewhere, going back to school. God's timing in it all. We don't want to step out of God's timing. If we rush out of God's timing, we're disobedient. And if we hold back, if we waited one more year to have that event, maybe I would have lost it and been disobedient to the Lord, and we never would have picked up the momentum. So it's about God's timing in all things. Amen? And coming into agreement. You know, maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, you know, I'm good with my dreams and visions and I'm all set. I want to encourage someone else. Pastor Carolyn gave the example of how Mama, is doing great. She did not need the hip surgery. Praise God. Pastor Carol will give a full testimony on that. How Mama, the vision that Pastor Paul and Pastor Carolyn had for Harvest Church was still in their home at the time. Mama said, no, you're going to do it in the pizzeria, right? You're going to start it in the pizza shop. You're going to have it. And she pushed and she pushed and she pushed. Sometimes we get to be the wind behind someone else's sail, right? Be ready. Be available for when someone says, I'm believing for my family. Let's link up in faith believing. Let's link up in faith believing with one another. Bear with one another their burdens that we can fulfill the law of Christ. Amen? Amen. And I wrote something down here that if we are believing, what we're believing for involves another person or people, when we're talking about restoration and peace, where there has been conflict. We are praying God's will. We are saying, Holy Spirit, soften their heart. That's Ezekiel 36:26. We only pray the scripture. We're not praying our own will. We're praying the Holy Spirit in John 16, who is the Spirit of truth, speaks truth to them. That's what we're praying. So if something that you're believing for has to do with another person or people or a group of people, and you're believing for a restoration or peace in the midst of conflict, we're not putting our will on them. And we're not saying, you know, God, I want this. No, we are praying God's will, and we're praying God's will in the situation. And again, God is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of restoration, and he is a God of peace. So if we're praying along those lines, we're praying God's will. Amen? I'm going to read you one other thing as we close. Because as we get this dream and vision and in our hearts and as we've written it down, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to start giving you a game plan. You know, that blueprint of that house, right? A wise woman. We are wise, warring women. That blueprint to that house that God has for you. Over the course of time, even as you open up these notes again, even as you seek God. But I believe, too, even as we sit here right now, we're just going to let the Spirit of God just continue to move, continue to speak to our hearts. Because it starts with a prayer and a plan from the Holy Spirit. That revelatory word from God, that vision, that dream. We each know what it is right now. I believe all of us have something in our hearts that we might have stopped, and we are believing for a change. that restoration to take place. And it's going to come through a time of prayer. Maybe the Lord is going to call you to a time of fasting before this upcoming year. I know I like to, you know, fast in January, and that's always wonderful to do. But I want to run into January. I don't want to just start what God has for me come January. We want to get moving on it now. I want to get the vision now so I know what I'm working towards starting January. What is that vision of abundant life? And what mountains you need to speak to? John 10:10, our starting scripture verse, the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. And I want to just read this to you. And it's Proverbs 29:18. It says, for there is no vision, the people perish. Don't let go of your vision. God has a plan for your life, one that will help you see what's truly important. It's called a vision. Otherwise, things get blurred and you end up not knowing where you're supposed to go. Athletes focus on one thing only, winning. To do it, they sacrifice relationships, pastimes, and pleasures. Eugene Patterson describes vision this way. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When God gives you a vision, you begin to see things as he sees them. I'm going to say that part again. When God gives you a vision, you begin to see things as he sees them. He already sees our body healed. He already sees our family restored. He already sees the provision. He already sees that when he gives us that dream, that vision, that goal, he's just letting us see what he has ahead for us. Amen. Moses saw the promised land while everybody else around him saw only wilderness and wanted to give up and return to Egypt. He understood that he would get there on God's schedule according to God's plan, one step at a time. Sometimes your vision can feel overwhelming. That's when you break it down into small steps, setting a table, preparing for a conversation. Visualize yourself taking that next step. You will be surprised at your progress. But until you take that first step, a vision is just a daydream. What do you see in your future? A clergyman said two men looked outside from a prison bar. One saw mud and the other saw stars. What do we see when we look ahead at 2023? What do you see? Do you think God is just going to stop and drop success in your lap? No, you must energize your vision with faith and give it momentum through hard work. After working all night and catching no fish, Jesus told the disciples, launch out into the deep. When they did, they caught their biggest catch ever. Bottom line, the world does not control your supply, God does. Amen.